What a blessing to have you. What a blessing that you're here tonight. Someone was asking me today about chapter by chapter. I want you to write down something for me. It was something as we were talking it through and talking about what we face, what we're believing for chapter by chapter. It is a long haul. If you don't know what chapter by chapter is, we are going through as a church 4 years, 1,189 chapters of the Bible. And it is 7 minutes a day, 7 days a week, and we're in the book of Joshua. Someone said this, write this down. We talked about these words. We said every day you have to write, and these are the words I want you to get. Discipline weighs ounces, and regret weighs tons. Do we have that? There we go. Write that down, or take a picture of that. What does that mean? Keep that up there for just a moment. Discipline weighs ounces. Regret weighs tons. For what God many times asks us to do, it takes day by day work, day by day saying yes to God. It's doing what he's asked us to do. But the worst thing to have, the weight to have on you is the regret of not doing what God has asked you to do. That's the tons. That's the regret that's there. Though chapter by chapter and really anything, Bible study, whatever we're going to do, leading a connect group, serving in a church, ushering, playing, getting good on the organ. That's discipline every day. The guitar, it's discipline. The regret is when I go to Willie and I said, man, I used to take piano lessons when I was growing up. And then all of a sudden you go, how many took piano lessons growing up? Would you raise your hand? And how many didn't complete it? Put your hands down. That's the tons that weighs upon you. And I believe that today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the regret of not moving when God has asked us to move. There's something I want to share with you that God put on my heart. Father, in these next few moments, may there not be any regrets in this room. We could say we've obeyed and we've moved forward today. Do something special in this room. Do something special in our lives. Those that are watching online, around the country and around the world, those that have made it through all the weather, through a hard day, maybe at work, let this be a challenge for us tonight, a challenge. And God, I pray, push us on further in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Tell someone next to you, you're going to go further than you ever have before, and then you may be seated. For those that may be watching from down south, this city name may be familiar to you. It was to me because we lived in Texas for a couple years when my dad retired, and we'd hear about this city called Corpus Christi. Corpus Christi was right on the Gulf of Mexico. And I heard the story that this city that sits right on the Gulf of Mexico, it wasn't too long ago, that a gated community where some of the multi-million dollar mansions were faced with a situation. As this area, the Gulf of Mexico, gets hurricanes that will come in, they were all getting concerned because those hurricanes were bringing in the ocean waters and bringing in the sand and encroaching upon their very beloved properties and their million-dollar properties. And so what they decided to do was to bring the city of Corpus Christi to court and say, you're responsible for getting this to stop. We don't want to lose our mansions. We don't want to lose our stuff. We don't want to begin to have to deal with all this pain that a hurricane can bring in. So the plaintiff said to the city, you need to fix this and protect our property. And I love what the judge said. This is what the judge said. He says, that's the price you pay living close to the water. I want you just to think about that. He says, that's the price you pay by living that close to the water. Can I just say this to you? If you walked with Jesus in the New Testament, you live close to the water and you were gonna pay a price. Because I wanna take you on a journey here. There's a price, because Jesus always seemed, when there was water, to look at those poor disciples and say, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. And it never was just a normal trip in the boat. It's the price you pay when you live close to the water. It's the price you pay when you walk with Jesus. Those storms on the Sea of Galilee were sudden and violent because of the unique geography, that it was 680 feet below sea level, but yet surrounded by 2,000-foot-high cliffs. it began to create this like almost a vortex that at any moment a storm could show up, where it wasn't just water encroaching upon a $1 million mansion. It was literally life and death as you were on a journey on a boat or on a ship or on a fishing trip. It's the price you pay. It's the price the disciples paid when they walked with Christ, when he would say, we're going on a journey, and especially when he brought them on the Sea of Galilee. I'm always reminded of the words of C.S. Lewis, who said this. He said, I didn't go to Christianity to make me happy. I could have gotten that from a bottle of wine. If you want a religion that makes you comfortable, I don't recommend Christianity, which is so true. How many know Jesus will not make you comfortable, but he will always challenge you to go further? When you become a Christian, always remember this. There will be storms, but there will be miracles, and there will be Jesus. Always keep that in mind. When you say yes to becoming a Christian, there will be storms, but there will be miracles, and most importantly, there will be Jesus. The disciples got two storms on a boat, and both happen on the Sea of Galilee. I was amazed by this as I was reading the scriptures. When Jesus began to say, get in this boat, this is going to be the price you pay by living close to the water. Really, it's the price you pay by living close to Jesus. He is going to ask you to get in the boat, and this was what was going to happen. There was going to be a storm, a ship ride, but the good news is this. When you follow Jesus, there will be storms, there will be miracles, and there will be Jesus. The two sections that I want you to write down, because this is important, because these happen a year apart. I'll explain that later. Mark 4:35 is the first one that takes place. The first, get in the boat, let's go across the sea. And the other one that's recorded is Matthew chapter 14. This is important. I want to read both to you. And the timelines are interesting, because if you look at Mark 4 and Matthew 14, just jot down, maybe on your notes tonight, that these are 1 year apart. And how many know a lot can happen in 1 year? A lot can take place. God can do a lot, and something did happen. Let me read to you the Mark 4 part. This is what it says. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat. That always made me laugh. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat. No one takes Jesus along with them anywhere. Just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind. And the Bible says, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care? We are perishing. And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have, keep this in mind, no faith? No faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? Think of those words again. Verse 40 and 41, the Bible says, and he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And then the Bible says this. Then when they saw him, they became very much afraid and said, who then is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? On that day, I just kind of jotted down. I said, two things got rebuked, a storm and the disciples at the same time. When he looked at the storm, he said, hush, be still. And I think when he looked at his disciples, I have this feeling he said the same thing. Hush, be still. He turned and basically told the disciples to quiet, settle down. Why are you afraid? And then he says, do you still have no faith? No faith. And it seems that this issue of fear and no faith seemed to have some kind of connection. And all of a sudden, you realize that fear and faith don't coexist together. It's two things that Jesus is telling them, don't be afraid. Why do you have no faith? It's the second boat ride and storm on the Sea of Galilee that happens 1 year later. This one has a story within the storm that what you'll see it. It'll remind you of it. And I want you to see, because something happens here. Faith moves here. It's going to move from no faith in Mark 4 to little faith in Matthew 14. You're going to see a movement here. Because he rebukes them in Mark 4 and says, you have no faith. And when you get over to Matthew 14, you're going to see little faith. And all this happens in 1 year. And that's movement. That's something good that took place. Listen to the story. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Remember, so Jesus makes them get on a boat, but he doesn't go on this time. First time he's sleeping in the bottom of the boat, the stern. Now Jesus says, you get on this boat, but I'm going up to a mountain and he's going to pray. Later that night, he was there alone and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Very much the same thing. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. And they said and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Now the story within the storm. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came towards Jesus. Don't miss walked on the water. Let me say that again. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, watch what came back. The fear came. He began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. You, not of no faith, but of what faith? Little faith, said, why do you doubt? First time was fear and no faith. Now doubt. And then when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The first storm and the boat ride, the disciples said, we are perishing. And Jesus was with them in the boat. For the second storm, Jesus is not in the boat, but he's walking on the water in the vicinity of the boat. Keep this in mind. 11 disciples said, it is a ghost. One disciple said, command me to come to you on the water. Keep that in mind. What a contrast. Something significant happens. I think it's Peter's little faith that makes him look like Jesus. Think of this. Instead of screaming like a child, we are perishing or it is a ghost, Peter is doing what Jesus is doing. He's walking on the water. That when there is faith in Jesus, you start to look like Jesus. That now Peter's doing what Jesus did. He's walking on water. And though the story is about Peter walking, and we have to say, and sinking, there's something interesting, because when he sees the wind, he became frightened and began to sink and cried out these three words, Lord, save me. Isn't it great to know that just those three words was enough to rescue him? It was Charles Spurgeon who said, brief prayers are best. It's not about length, but strength. That sometimes all you got inside of you is a Lord, save me. That's not length, but that is strength. And there'll always be a boat ride that Jesus will put you in. Don't you love verse 22 when the Bible says Jesus made the disciples get into the boat? I have to believe that there had to be pushback. That's why he made them. I could see them going, no way, we are not getting in this boat without you. We remember the last time you made us get in a boat and to get out on this water. There is no way. And I have to love the phrase, he made them get on the boat. Because there are some things, can I just be honest? Jesus has made me do that there was no way I was going to do it. And Jesus's boat rides is to get you to stop screaming and to get you to start walking like Jesus walked. What does that walk on water look like for us? I want you to keep this in mind tonight. Peter went from no faith in Mark 4 to little faith in Matthew 14. And here's what got me. And little faith was enough to get him out of the boat and walk on water. Let me say that again. I know you've been through a storm here just to come to church. Peter went from no faith in Mark 4 to little faith a year later. And what's amazing to me is little faith sometimes gets a bad rap. There's only two people in the Bible that had great faith, and they were both non-Jews. They were a Syrophoenician Canaanite woman, and it was also a Roman centurion. So here Peter, in this situation, that little faith was enough to get him out of the boat and walk on water. That's why this is so key. I'm thinking this, what could have happened if he had great faith that day? Little faith was enough. Little faith encourages more walking and, in a sense, less screaming. The first time, everybody's screaming, "Don't you care?" The second time is, "Lord, I'm sinking." And this is what's important. It's that faith that grows, that helps us to face those storms. And this is how we go from that screaming in storms in Mark 4, which is crying out, "Don't you care? We are perishing," to somebody saying with little faith, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come." 11 men are in a boat that are saying it's a ghost. And there's one person in that boat that's simply saying this, "If it's you, command me to walk on that water." I want to just take a second tonight. As I've been asking the Lord what to do, I want to talk to you about how to walk in the storm. How to walk in this storm. I want you to jot down these three things. Get this down. Number one is this that got me about Peter. One word is enough to start. Just one word is he had. And that word was come. Jesus just said, come. One word is enough. You trust that one word that Jesus speaks instead of being frozen by fear. And that word was come. And that was enough for Peter. Can I say something to you tonight about this one word from Jesus? When I have talked with people about some very controversial topics, when we've talked about certain sexual identity and sexual preferences and everything, sometimes I've had people tell me, they said, "Well, I only see it in the Bible once or twice." I said, "Well, let me explain to you. When you're dealing with a God that doesn't lie, once is enough." See, when you keep having to tell, when someone keeps telling you this, "I'm not lying, I'm not lying, I'm not lying." Let me tell you something, they're lying. Because if you tell the truth, you just need to say it once. And here's the good news, God can't lie. Jesus always tells the truth. So one word is enough. You're not, that's why this is so important in this story. We walk, get this down, we walk on his word. We walk on his word. A few weeks ago, I was in Brussels, Belgium, speaking to leaders around Europe. And on a Saturday morning, while I was praying Saturday morning over my message, I felt the Lord just speak to me and wanting me to change the message on ministering on to these leaders on emptiness, when there's an emptiness inside of them, when these leaders have nothing to give and people need something, there's nothing inside. And the problem was I already sent in my notes and I felt the Holy Spirit say, this is what they need to hear. I wasn't happy because I had everything all together. And I wasn't asking Jesus to change it. I was just asking him to bless me. And it was at that moment, it was as if I was in a boat and Jesus was on the water and he was going, "I'm not in the boat, I'm on the water, but you're gonna have to come to me." And I was sitting there thinking to myself, and I wasn't happy, it was early in the morning. But I can tell you this, the last place I wanna be is where Jesus is not. I wanna be where Jesus is. So this is, I'm gonna tell you, this is what I told the Lord in prayer. I said, "God, I am flying out right after my final session." This is what I told the Lord, right back to New York City so I can speak on Sunday. And I said, "God, I am not getting on a plane crossing the Atlantic disobedient. I can tell you that right now. I am going to do it, but there will be at least one man on that Delta flight who is obeying God." And I said, so if this message doesn't go right, that's your problem. But I said, if I sink, that's on you. You'll get a Lord save me. But let me just tell you something. Delta will not have a Jonah on that airplane. I said, I'm going to do exactly what you told me. And thank God I did, because that's exactly what needed to be said that day. Because there are moments, if you hear God, one word is enough, because God knows what he's doing and God always tells the truth. Hallelujah. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And he simply said, come, is what he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Peter walked on the word, one word. He walked on this, on water, on one word, come. That's it. Whether it's go, come, healed, whatever it is, surrender. One word is enough as long as it comes from the mouth of God. That's what how movement takes place. Number two, let me tell you what also happens. You will walk, when you walk with God, you will also scream many times in that walk. Peter relapsed into screaming, but he moved. Remember the first scream, don't you care, we are perishing? The second scream, a ghost. But there was the third one, Lord, save me. I want you to listen to me. This is important. I want to say this to you. Many people have never had the privilege of sinking because they never had the little faith to walk. I want you to keep that on the screen for a second. There are people that have never had the privilege of sinking when you've obeyed God because they never had the little faith to get out of the boat in the first place. Cement is better to walk on than water. Would you agree with that? But God will ask you to walk into places that you will feel unsure about. God will ask you to walk into conversations and into places and into situations that will not work in the natural or work out on paper. It's God saying, you will need me for this to work. You will need me for each step that needs to be taken. You will need me, but you need to listen to me. You need to hear what I'm saying to you. I was one of the moments that I had to trust God because it was new ground to me. Some years ago when I was in Detroit, God asked me to do something I've never done before. You'd have to go to see my in-laws, Cindy's parents. You had to drive through downtown Detroit, and then you would drive. They would call it going downriver, and you'd pass Detroit and start driving on a highway called I-75, right outside of all the buildings and skyscrapers. And as soon as the buildings start to dissipate as you start to see, they call it the Ambassador Bridge, which was the bridge to Canada. And there was, as soon as you passed that, there was an underpass that so many times I would look at. And when you'd look at the underpass as you're driving by, I could see underneath it, I would see a mattress, clothes, boxes, and I saw all these things. It was the items of a homeless man on this underneath this overpass. It'd have to go up this incline. It was at the top, and you could see it. It was very prevalent. And I'll never forget, as I passed it probably a dozen times, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, he was about to send me on water. I felt the Lord say, go buy him a meal, bring him some money, and stop and pray with the man. Now, folks, cars are whipping by at 75 miles an hour. I don't know what's up at the top of underneath this bridge. It wasn't solid ground for me, and I've not done this before. I've been in spots, and I've been in places, but I knew it was the voice of God. I knew it was God who was asking me to do something, that there was going to be walking, but there may have been sinking or maybe screaming also that was going to take place. I remember going one morning, buying breakfast. This is the absolute truth. And I left my wallet in the car, and all I took was my license just in case they needed to identify the body. And so that's what I told the Lord. I said, I'm just taking a license. That's all I'm taking with me. I said, and that was part of my screaming. I was just going, God, this is what I'm going to do. So I brought cash. I brought breakfast. I brought my license in my pocket. And I was going to go, I'm about to walk on water, God. You're about to have to do something. So I remember pulling the car over, putting the hazards on, pulling it over. Everybody's flying by me at 75 miles an hour. And I took this cash, this breakfast, and I was ready to minister. I walked up this, and there was the mattress, there was all the clothing, there was all the stuff, and there was nobody there. The man already left. He went. Maybe he just went on the day asking for money. There was nobody there. And all I did was I left the food, I put the money under a rock, and I wrote the man a note. I wrote him a prayer, I think it was. For some people would say, well, you messed up. I don't think so. I think listening to God and just saying, God, at first I scream and going, you asked me to do this? I can't even believe the man's not. I was expecting Nicodemus to go, I've been praying that you would come. What must I do to be saved? That's what I was expecting. I'm going to tell you the truth. I was expecting Nicodemus and I got nobody. I got zero. And here's the thing. So my screaming was out of my expectations because nobody was there. But God was going, you did what I've asked you to do. You walked in spots that you'd never been before, but it's changing you because you're listening to my voice and what the Holy Spirit is saying. I was told today that somebody was reading some of the comments on one of the things that the choir or the worship team posted on one of our social media. And they said, we found out that while they were listening, someone found out and someone was posting, hey, I like this music, I'm not a Christian. And it's a witch that's been listening to Times Square Church. And it caught my attention. And I'm going, hallelujah, witches are listening to Times Square Church. But I've been there before. Because I was telling the team, I said, we had a moment in Detroit during this time where there was a coven of witches that kept listening online to the church in Detroit. So I just said, okay, God, what do you want us to do? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, do a night and invite all the witches to the church to come and then you minister to them. And in my mind, I'm going like, okay, I've never been on this ground before. There's probably going to be a lot of screaming on this night. Who knows what God can do? Who knows what can happen when you finally say, okay, God, there will be walking, but how many know when you walk with God, there may be some screaming also that begins to take place. I expected, what happens is me expecting what to happen and what God wanted to do and train me to do. The story with thinking there's going to be a Nicodemus, it wasn't, he didn't get saved. All these witches didn't get saved, but I listened to what God had to say. What God wanted to do. There will be those moments. But this is the part that got me. Little faith even changes your worship. Let me explain this. The first boat ride, this is what the people say. Who is this that even in the wind and the sea obey him? That's what they say in Mark. Who is this? You remember what they say on the second boat ride when they get back in the boat? Truly, you are the Son of God. They went from a question to a declaration. What changes in the second storm? It was your trust. There was movement, and then there was worship. Something happened at that moment. Something took place there that even in the storm, when even though there was sinking, though something took place there, it didn't seem that it was going to lead. Think about this, that to come on the water, to sink in the water would turn into worship, would turn into a boat and a declaration. You just sank. You just sank there. I want to mention something about the worship in that boat for just a second. Because I had this thought as I was reading this story. There was, out of the 12 disciples that were worshiping, going, truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, certainly, this is the Son of God. I want you to think about this for just a moment. 11 disciples are worshiping God. And there's one disciple who is soaked and wet with his hands up worshiping God. He is drenched because he just sank in the ocean. One guy was worshiping soaked and wet. You know, there's this term, I started to hear about these worship services called Soaking. We're soaking in these albums called Soaking. So this redefines what soaking is. It's not sitting with LED walls and smoke machines. It's when you sink and Jesus has rescued you. That's what soaking is. You want to worship soaking? Walk where Jesus asked you to walk. Then the worship changes at that moment. Our story portrays real soaking, a little bit different. This scene is different. Listen to it. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they, that's Jesus and Peter, climbed into the boat, wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Can you envision the scene on the boat? Those who were in the boat started to worship him, except for this one guy who I think was worshiping, but worshiping a little bit different. Worshiping dripping wet. Worshiping, feeling like, man, I just sunk in the ocean, but I did walk on the water. While everyone else is dry with their hands up, there's one guy who's soaking wet in the boat. Everybody else is going, "Truly the Son of God." Peter has just come out of the ocean. I have to believe his worship was a little bit different. See, there is a difference between those who sing the lyrics on the screen and those who sing because they walk, sank, rescued, and now they're worshiping Jesus in this place. Folks, I'm telling you, it's one thing to sing. It's another thing to say, "I walked, I sank, I was rescued. Now I'm lifting my hands up to Jesus and worshiping who he is." Think of it for just a moment. The Bible says, "Truly you are the Son of God." They went from questions to declarations. They go from "who is this" to "truly you are the Son of God." I want to say this to you as we get ready to close. Have you ever been in a worship service like tonight, Sunday? Did you ever be in the worship service and you see, you have people hearing the same song in the same place and there's two different reactions to it? Have you ever sat next to somebody and all of a sudden they're worshiping and there they are going, "God, dang, dang." And the other person is just there, just singing the lyrics. Listen, I've been there. I think, like as I was thinking about this, I remember on Sunday, as people were singing, as Kareem led us in the song, "Be Praised." Remember the words? When I think of all you've done and all the battles you brought me over, hallelujah. And all the storms, I saw him come and my defense, my only song is, I was reading the wrong song. "Now unto him who is able," do you think about this? Keep going with the lyrics, keep going, help me, move it, move the lyrics. Yes, okay, we'll just sing the song then. I want you just to think, and then he says this, "Now unto him who is able, hallelujah, and let there never be a day that I don't rise to bring you praise, hallelujah." Think of it for just a moment. When I think of all you've done and all the battles you brought me over, hallelujah. May there never, how he never let me fall. "Now unto him who is able, hallelujah, and let there never be a day that I don't rise to bring you praise, hallelujah." I'm thinking about this. There's some jumping up and down, shouting hallelujah, and some people are just standing there. Did you ever see that? There's some going, "Oh," and when I think of the storms you brought me through, and they're just going, hallelujah. And there are some that are just this. And it used to bug me. It used to bug me. As Kareem would sing this, and I'm thinking of the storms he brought me through. I'm thinking of the battles he brought me through. I'm thinking of all that God has done for me. And I'm just going, hallelujah. What's happened? What's going on? I think I've saw it. I think Peter taught me something here. There are times, I want you to listen to me. There are times that your worship has flatlined because you've never walked on water. You never walked in a new place. Let me say it like this. Listen, some think the problem is with worship songs. We need more hymns. We need more gospel. We need more of those contemporary. That's not it. It's not the songs. It's our walk. You won't be moved until you move. That some of you are sitting in a boat waiting for some special song to move you. That's not it. I don't need a special. I can worship him on any song. You know why? Because I have walked, I have sunk, I have been rescued, and now I can worship. And some of you are trying to sing songs and it doesn't work. You're waiting for the new song to be sung. Folks, not when you've walked, sunk, rescued. It's easy to worship. It's easy to lift your hands and praise him. It's easy to say, let there never be a day that I won't give you praise. Folks, I am telling you, I've started to realize more and more, if you haven't been in the water for a while, it's time to get in and trust God. If you haven't been in the water, if you've not heard, I want you to go under the bridge and talk to this guy that doesn't exist. I want you to invite witches over to the church. It's those moments that I'm going, God, if you don't show up, I'm going to sink. And if I do sink, you'll rescue me. And some of you don't know how to worship because you're not walking. You're not walking. You're in a boat. We have a church. Singers, come. Let's go. Get out of the boat. Stand with me. Listen. The change that needs to take place is outside the service, away from the multitudes, on a dark lake, when storms are raging. Something happens to our worship when you walk in places that you're going, God, if you don't show up, I don't know what I'm gonna do. That's why I can sing. I'm going, God, what you've asked me to do, I've gotta trust you on this. Let me be clear. Please don't ask God to guide your steps if you're not willing to move your feet. Please don't. I need guidance, but you're not willing to move. You're only willing to move when you go where you want to go. Can I just tell you? I don't want to go under an underpass. I don't want to invite witches. Some of you are sitting there going like, God, guide my steps, but don't let it be in New York City. God, guide my steps and get me out of this city. So what kind of prayer is that? For some of you, New York City is walking on water. Thank God. Then walk on water. Walk on water. You're going like, this is the last place I wanted to come. God's leading me here and I can't even believe it. I've been trying to get out of this city and God keeps bringing me back. That's why you can worship. That's why, because you're walking on water. You're walking in a place. So if you're waiting for a song to stir you, that's not gonna happen. You know what stirs you? Is when God goes, come, come. And you step out of a boat going, God, I don't even know if this is solid ground. Let me help you. It's not solid ground. Well, I don't even know if I can do this. I don't even know if I can take this walk. And then you're asking me to do this. You're asking me to move and do this and talk and all these things. You're asking me to serve. You're asking me to do this. All those things. That's what makes you a worshiper, not songs. It's when you walk, you sink, you're rescued, then you worship. Then you go, God, I lift your name on high. Thank you, God. Can I just say this? It's that first boat ride, all the screaming going on. Save us, we're perishing, don't you care? Some of you are still doing that after 10 years. Don't you care? I'm dying here. And God is just going, walk, walk, walk. Take a step of faith. Changes your worship. Changes everything. I want God to just come. Every time I come to worship, I want to remember with God's help, with God's help. I want us all to realize, with God's help, I've walked on water. I've sank because of fear. I've been rescued every time by God. And I'm worshiping Jesus, soaked and wet. Anybody come in here dripping from being rescued? That's me. God has rescued me. I can tell you things that took place last week, conversations and things that try to suck me in, that God rescued me. I was in meetings today, soaking wet because God rescued me. God took me out. God helped me through that situation. But you're going to have to get out of a boat. You're going to have to get out of a boat. You have to do what God has asked you to do. Sing that. Where's Kareem? There you are. Sing that part. That bridge. Sing the bridge for just a second. Sing it. It's a good time to lift your hands and say hallelujah. Come on. How he never let me fall.
How he never let me fall. Now on to what he's done.
Come on, sing it to me.
I think of all you've done and all the battles you brought me over. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How he never let us fall.
How he never let me fall. Now unto him who is able. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let there
Hallelujah. unsolid ground. Water's not solid. He's going to ask you to walk in spots that you're going, I may sink. And can I just tell you, I've sunk a lot. Anybody with me on that? Anybody knows about sinking? Okay, let me just check. How many know about sinking? Would you raise your hand? Okay. It's when he calls you. And how many know about rescue, that he rescued you every single time? I've obeyed him, but he's rescued me every single time. Hallelujah. Let there never be a day. So I have a book. It was the only book I hit a spot in the book. I threw it against the wall. I've never done that before. Threw the book against the wall. The name of the book was called, it's the story of Louis Zamperini. The book was called Unbroken. And it's about this atheist, this athlete atheist, true story. They did a movie on him, but this book on how this man became this Olympic athlete, was in the war, comes back, becomes a drunkard, and let me just go ahead and ruin the book for you, because you're not going to read it. So let me just say this to you. And just when you thought he is done, his wife just goes, come with me to hear this tall blonde man. And in Los Angeles, he shows up for a Billy Graham crusade and gets born again and becomes absolutely changed. That's when I threw it. I said, I can't take this anymore. Just when I didn't like the guy, I threw the book and I just go, I can't believe this. But let me tell you what happened with Louis Zamperini. He ran in the Olympics. In fact, he ran in Berlin when Hitler did the Olympics. And he ran the mile. Ran it in 4:21. They thought this was unbelievable. In fact, everyone was talking about this four minutes, said it's impossible. They said doctors said it's anatomically impossible for the human body to run at that speed to break the 4 minute mile. They said if you try to do it, your heart would explode by the time you cross the finish line. And it was believed this for decades. Experts said this, it seemed to God himself to establish it as man's limit. Every attempt is futile and fatal. 20 years after the Berlin Olympics, 1954, a man named Roger Bannister ran the mile in 3:57. And here's what's amazing. He was the first man in 1957 to run the mile under 4 minutes. Don't miss this now. This is walking on water. You know what's crazy? In the next 46 days, 22 people broke the 4 minute mile. 22 people. What are you trying to say? Someone has to go first. Somebody has to go. Somebody has to go walking on water. And somebody, it's amazing when somebody goes first, 22 people then do it. I want to get out of the boat when he calls. When he asks us, everyone's going like, you're going to put up an LED wall out here on Broadway and show Christian? Yes. They just threw a giant blockade of us today. But that doesn't bother us today. We believe God can do it. We believe God can. But here's what I read. Listen to these words. Don't leave anything for later. Later the coffee gets cold. Later you lose interest. Later the day turns into night. Later people grow up. Later people grow old. Later life goes by. Later you regret not doing something when you had the chance. Don't wait for later. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Don't wait for later. Remember, discipline weighs ounces. Regret weighs tons. I'm not living with regret. So when people go, LED, 100 nations with child cry, are you crazy? No, I'm just walking on water. I'm gonna sink, but I know the prayer. Lord, save me. And so while you're sitting in the boat singing words off a screen, I'll be soaking wet, but I can say this. Only two people in the New Testament walked on water, Jesus and Peter. I want to walk on water. Everybody else goes, I remember. Walk on water today. Do what God has asked you to do. Let God do something. Let me just ask this as we close. How many know that God is calling you to do something that you have kind of been putting off? Would you raise your hand? Just hold it up high. Come on, be honest. Saying, God has been calling me to do whatever that may be. Let me ask one more time, because some of you are so afraid to lift up your hand right now. How many, God has a come, he's going come, and you haven't done it yet. Would you raise your hand? Hold it up high, hold it up high. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna sing this song again. And I'm gonna ask you just to take the first step by coming to this altar. Let this be the first step out of a boat to go, God, this is the beginning of what you're asking me to do. This is the first step. I'm gonna come and I'm gonna lift my hands and say, God, I wanna do what you've asked me to do. I may sink, but I will be rescued and I will worship, amen? As we sing that part, I want you to get out of your seat. Come on, you come. You're going, I know he's asking me to step out. Get out, just get out, wherever you're at, just get out. Come on, let's sing it, Kareem.
Cause when I think of all you've done and all the battles you brought me over,
asking of things of my own life. Once again, I'd be right down there with you. I'd be walking out and just going, because there's things I'm afraid of. There's things, but I know that faith and fear can't coexist. But you know what I've been asking for? God, I'll take a little faith. Anybody with me on that? I'll take a little faith. Little faith got him on the water. Don't just, because everybody's going, everybody wants to just kind of, remember I said, little faith gets a bad rap. But got him out of the boat. So while everyone's going like, ah, you got little faith. Yeah, but I'm out of the boat. You're a dry worshiper. I'm soaking wet, but I'm worshiping. I don't want to talk to dry worshipers. I want to talk to those that have walked, sunk, have been rescued, and lift their hands in worship. That's what I want to do. That's what God's called me to do. That's what God's called you to do. You know what this is today? It's just the first step. Just to say, I'm going to get out. I'm going to get out. I want to tell you, you may feel it sometimes and you're going like, I don't feel hard ground. I don't feel, he will rescue you. He will rescue you. You'll walk into conversations. You'll walk into moments that God's going, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to do the impossible. But the cement is so much easier. And this is what God is going to help us with. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I'd be on the ground. Is this altar now going to make us all water walkers? No, this is just our first step. This is our first step. This is, you know what this altar is? This is us holding onto the boat. This is us, that's all we're doing. We're just getting out. And then, but I don't know about you. Is anybody like me? If I got out of the boat, I'd be holding on. Anybody doing this with me? Anybody going, this isn't too solid here. This isn't too solid. But we walk on the word come because God tells the truth. He tells the truth. C.S. Lewis said, he said, where we find difficulty, we can always expect that a new discovery awaits us. Yes. Whenever you find difficulty, God goes, you're about to discover something you never knew before. You never knew before. So just for a moment, as we lift our hands and just say, God, make these hands soaked and wet. And God, that we would be able to say that, Lord, we walked. We may have sunk, but we walked. And that, God, we're going to begin to worship you. That, God, worship has nothing to do with the songs. It has everything to do with the walk, with the walk, with the walk, the walk, the sinking and the rescue. It's nothing to do with music. God, help us if this church just depends upon music. I'm so grateful. So grateful, God, that I look up here on the stage and so many of these that are on the stage have walked, sunk, been rescued, and now they're worshipers. God, please give us worshipers in that choir that have been soaking wet from walking, but God, you rescued them. For me, God, let these hands show you praise, but they have been on the water. For all of us, God, give us the faith, give us the courage to now take the next step tonight. I bless them. Everyone watching around the world, I bless them. Let them take that step. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, I want to just say this. I'm so grateful. Some of you up here, I know your stories. And I know your stories. And literally, you're not here because it's a gig or a talent or this is my... You're up here because you're soaking wet up here. Every time you walk out, you're dripping. You're going, God, I've walked, I've sung, I've been rescued, and now I can worship you. I'm so grateful for you, choir. So grateful that you're not just singers. God, help us. If we have singers, shut this thing down. We need worshipers that say, we've walked where God... And I want to thank you. That's what we're called to do.